Well, it appears that Fed Chair Powell had dinner last night with President Trump in the White House. I think it was a steak dinner, and I'm not sure what our next guest can add to this issue, but let's bring on Ira Jersey. Ira is the chief U.S. interest rate strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence. He comes to us on the phone from the Bloomberg Intelligence headquarters in lovely Princeton, New Jersey. Ira, thanks for joining us. You know, this silly story last night about Chairman Powell having dinner with the president, yes, it's unusual. But does it raise the risk that this Fed may be under some maybe unusual influence, you know, from a political perspective? Is that a risk or a concern for the markets?
Well, I think it is a little bit of a risk. I mean, anytime you question central bank independence, it has to bring up some angst among market participants, and it's generally not a good thing. I mean, even central banks where they used to be highly influenced by political pressures, like the Bank of England, for example, had the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who was a member of Parliament, would be a member. They actually went back and made it even more independent. They have like certain safeguards now to ensure that you have an independent monetary policy that follows the mandate that the politicians set, right? So I think this is one example of President Trump not really understanding the dynamics of Washington and, you know, not being used to, you know, appointing people that don't necessarily have to do his bidding, but actually act independently. And that's one of the safeguards that the Federal Reserve Act made in having, you know, long tenors for Federal Reserve governors, having independent presidents who were chosen by outside groups that are not political, that are business-oriented.
Yeah.
So I think that is a risk. At the same time, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily that that the chair and vice chair of the Federal Reserve met with the president to explain, hey, here's our position, here's how things are going to work, here's what we're doing, and here's why we're doing it. And, you know, maybe some of the discussion was a little bit more candid, perhaps, than could be, you know, happen over Twitter.
basically. And actually, and in fairness, the fact that the Federal Reserve basically announced this meeting as soon as the forks hit the plate indicates that there was no effort at trying to keep it secret or anything like that. There was a clear effort at transparency
right.
on the Fed's perspective. You know, who knows from the other side? But there definitely
and I
was.
Think the other thing we have to remember is that members of the Fed talk to members of the administration all the time. In fact, they're even on some committees together. Like like the Financial Stability Council, for example, includes the Treasury Secretary and a member of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. So it's not like these people don't interact all the time. It is not usually at the level of the president and the chair. It's usually, you know, secretary kind of level.
Yeah. So I wanted just to switch gears a little bit because Bill Dudley, the former president of the New York Fed, wrote a Bloomberg opinion piece today that I thought was really interesting about how market participants seem a little bit overjazzed about the balance sheet roll-off and that it isn't that big of a deal. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, I said amen when I saw that headline. You know, it's something that we've been writing about for a while because no one's been able to explain. The people who say that the balance sheet is the reason why you had that volatility back in December, no one's been able to explain to me with any type of reasonable data. What's a transmission mechanism from the balance sheet runoff to equity markets? Because it's not bank lending. Bank lending is not going down because of liquidity reasons. You don't see the market, so you don't see the Fed funds rate going up significantly, and you don't see reserves being demanded by banks. So these are all the things that if there were the Fed's balance sheet was too small, you'd see those types of activities. But you don't, right? That's not the case at the moment. So what is that transmission mechanism that's causing that? And I think you know, Bill Dudley, you know, having been on the FOMC, having run the New York Fed, and having been there even longer than when he ran it as a staff person, he knows and understands this as well as anyone else. And I think that it's, you know, it's nice that he went out there and was able to, you know, give a very cogent explanation as to why it's not likely that the balance sheet's the reason for this asset market volatility. And it's something that, you know, certainly we at Bloomberg Intelligence and Bloomberg Economics, we agree with.
So, Ira, one of the things about, you know, letting the balance sheet run off, you've talked about in the past, is kind of how the Fed does that. Now, the Fed holds, this balance sheet holds treasuries and mortgages, and just give us a sense of how you think the Fed should let this balance sheet run off as it relates to which securities it runs off and buys back.
Yeah, so, you know, so the So which it should is it depends on really how small the balance sheet needs to get. So the Federal Reserve reiterated last week at its meeting that they only want to hold enough securities in order to conduct monetary policy. The challenge with that is that when does reserve demand equal reserve supply? And unfortunately that's an unknowable until we see it. So the things that I would look out for are things like when do banks start to demand more reserves, and you see the volume of the Fed funds market go up. So the New York Federal Reserve releases that every morning when it releases the Fed funds effective rate. So you can see how much that is. Right now, it's about $60 billion a day. If that goes up to, say, $100 or $150 billion a day, then you'd get a hint that banks are demanding many more reserves. And the second thing is because these reserves are all used for different bank capital purposes, so these Basel Accords, look for them maybe to be replacing those reserves with T-bills. So when banks start to buy a lot more T-bills, that'll be another indication that the balance sheet's small enough.
Thank you so much for being with us. Ira Jersey, Chief U.S. Interest Rate Strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence, joining us from Bloomberg Intelligence headquarters in Princeton, New Jersey.